Blog Talk Radio.
Fantastic.
Oh yeah, so what are you doing exactly?
Walking around, getting autographs. Nothing you'd be interested in.
Are you drinking?
A little bit.
Oh, you should be drinking a lot. Well, you don't have to stay on the show, Mick. Like, it's not required of you. Besides, you kind of suck and you smell, so we hate you.
Okay.
You sound miserable. What's wrong with you?
Nothing, I'm fine.
I'll do anything.
So, Lou, are you still in Philly or are you back home?
No, I'm home. I'm home a while ago.
You what?
What? I'll be home a while now.
Oh, okay. So we got a couple of topics to tackle today. Any of you guys been following the news at all?
Absolutely. Zimmerman started a fight, brought a gun, killed a kid, and walked away. Unfucking believable. Unbelievable.
Well, the whole thing that the prosecution couldn't prove was whether or not he actually started the fight. But the fact was he was stalking the kid, and he called the cops, and the cops said, "Stay in your car. Like, don't do anything."
Yeah.
You know, like, you call 911 because it's an emergency that you can't handle. And people are saying, oh, he was under no obligation to listen to 911. Then why the fuck do you call 911?
Yeah. Why did he call 911 to begin with? You know, there was no...
Because he saw a suspicious person.
Right. There was no grounds for that. There was a kid walking down the street. He called 911. That's a red flag right there.
Pissy Creederson, welcome to the show, Pissy Creederson.
Excuse me.
Christy.
Yes.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how outraged are you?
Oh, God. I just feel like it was a great miscarriage of justice, basically.
Travesty.
Complete miscarriage to justice. If Trayvon Martin was white and George Zimmerman was black, one, it wouldn't have took 6 weeks to arrest him. He would have been arrested that night. Two, it wouldn't have got media coverage and it would have been another black man in jail.
No, probably would have gotten media coverage, but he would have been demonized. And I absolutely agree. I don't think there's any question, and I think anybody who disagrees with the fact that if Zimmerman was black and Martin was white, that this would be a different
I don't
fucking trial.
I don't want to negate
what white person would mean that kid on?
I don't want to say that racism doesn't exist in any way, shape, or form, and you're completely right. However, there was a case in Florida where an older black guy shot and killed a white dude on a playground, and he got away with that on the same, you know, stand your ground law. And really, yes, you know, we're all completely right here in saying that racial profiling is a huge problem. But what's more, well, I don't know, not more, but it's also an issue is that crazy fucking law where you can start a fight having a gun on you and then finish it. Then you, after starting some shit, get scared for your life and shoot somebody.
Right. Stand Your Ground has not saved lives. It's actually killed more people than it saved.
I'm sure.
Wow.
I don't know too much. I don't know. I don't have any particular opinion on the Stand Your Ground law, but I do believe in defending yourself and your property with violence.
Sure.
I do absolutely believe that.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's what Trayvon did. That's what Trayvon did. Imagine being a 17.
That's what I think.
You know, imagine being 17 years old and some creepy ass person is just following you in their car, and then they happen to get out.
You can be a creepy ass cracker. It's okay.
What?
Creepy.
What'd you say, Mick?
Creepy.
She can say creepy ass cracker. It's okay.
For real.
It's not in my regular vocabulary. I don't just say cracker. You know, it doesn't come out like that. No.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's you're well versed in the art of cracker calling.
You don't say cracker. You say cracker.
I don't
you
know if
cracker.
You guys are getting to this. I don't know if you guys are getting to this point, but what about the point that maybe Trayvon Martin was the one standing his ground?
I think he
exactly.
Was. I mean,
no, that's something that should be. That's something that should be absolutely addressed. And I honestly
the way the story
think,
told by Zimmerman, it seems to me that Trayvon Martin was the one protecting himself.
Right. I think so. He stood his ground. He was walking away. He knew he was being followed, and then he just said, "You know what? I'm going to get off the phone and I'm going to stand my ground and see what's up." And ended up losing his life over it.
I mean, that's the whole thing, and it's the question that he shot Trayvon Martin is it's not a question. He openly admitted that he did that. What they're trying to prove was criminal intent, and whoever started the fight doesn't matter because Zimmerman. And here's where I think maybe they couldn't have gotten a murder conviction, but they should have at least tried for criminal negligence or manslaughter or something.
Me
because
too.
He called 911 because he saw a suspicious person. Put aside all of the racism, put aside all of the ideas that you know, a black kid can't walk through the street, which are all valid. I'm not saying they're invalid.
Mm-hmm.
But just put those aside for a second and realize mm-hmm. that this person called, you call 911 because you want the police to come and handle a situation that you fucking cannot handle. That's why people call 911. Because they don't have the authority, the power, or the fucking the mental acuity to handle the situation in front of them. He knew he wasn't a fucking cop, even though it's quite obvious in all of the testimony and other shit that came up that he fucking wanted to be one and he was a copophile. He couldn't
mm-hmm.
handle the situation. So he called 911 and they said, "Don't engage him. Stay in your car." What did this fat fuck do? He got out of his fucking car. He did exactly what they told him not to do. You can say, oh, he was under no obligation to listen to 911. Then he shouldn't have fucking called 911.
Yeah. He was seeking their opinion and their help.
Well,
so basically, they're saying
important.
That. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think the other important thing is that the judge said to use your common sense, and the jury didn't use their common sense.
Right.
Frankly, unless somebody actually witnesses it, there's got to be reasonable doubt all the time. Unless you actually see it happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So
there's this aspect where basically if some dude hops out of a car, starts some shit with you, you better take whatever beatdown he gives you because if you defend yourself, you know, he can kill you with no consequence. So
I mean, if you're physically engaging a 17-year-old kid and he's whooping your ass, you're in the fucking wrong line of work in the first place. Like, you shouldn't be fucking
right?
with 17-year-old kids. Like, what's wrong with you?
And they brought out, I was home for a couple of days watching that shit on TV, and they brought a woman who had been, she had, a home burglary, a home invasion, these two black dudes. So to me, that proved that he was profiling, that he had in his mind already established.
That wasn't even in question either because they brought non-emergency calls and they played these calls that were taped. And he was talking about, you know, how that happened in the area. And he was angry. These fucking punks always get away with it, this and that.
Let me tell you
something.
I've personally been on the opposite side of being profiled. You know, being a black female driving, you know, cops automatically think I'm a mule. You know what I mean?
Forget the black thing. You're a female. You shouldn't be driving at all.
Right. And it is scary. It's scary as fuck. It's scary shit. So I can understand Trayvon Martin's mindset. You know, it is fucking terrifying. You know what I mean? To be tracked down for no reason.
You don't have to be black or female to be sympathetic to the idea of racial profiling at all. I'm a white male, statistically the most privileged person in America, statistically.
Right.
I'm the most privileged person in America. And whenever a cop pulls me over, it fucking scares the shit out of me because they have complete and utter control over everything that happens from that point on.
Absolutely.
I've been on that end where a cop has fucked my shit up for no good reason other than they were in a bad mood. They cause me untold amounts of stress. You don't have to be black or female or anything to realize that all it takes is for a cop to decide they don't like you for some reason. And it's already, I mean, it's proven that racial profiling happens. I mean, that's not even something that anybody should have to debate. Police departments have come out and said, yeah, we racial profile because, you know, statistically that's what we should do. You don't have to be anything to be sympathetic to that idea, because if a fucking white male can be bullied and harassed by cops, then I can only imagine what somebody who doesn't have that white privilege has to deal with. It's not fucking rocket science. It's not hard to picture either.
I've been pulled over for a number of reasons. My favorite was there was a person soliciting kids with the description of your van, and he's like tearing through. He's opening the back of my van. He's opening the side doors. What are these car seats for? He asked me. It's like, for my fucking kids. He was like, well, you know, there's someone out here profiling kids that in a vehicle that meets your description. I'm like, the fuck. And my husband, he was sitting in the passenger seat, which I thank God he was, because he's white and he's male, and he was able to, you know, talk to the cop. But if it was me, I would have been there for a while. They might have impounded my car and God knows what. I've been pulled over for numerous reasons. Just stupid shit, too.
I don't even think
I was shooting firecrackers and, you know, knocking
out of
over
your vagina.
Yeah, you know, this is America. Yeah, I mean, this is America. I should be able to do that shit.
Girl, right up your butt.
I don't think that race, it's worth the dialogue to talk about the race aspect of this case. I think that should have been something that should have been talked about, and it was. But it doesn't even have to be a factor in convicting this guy of doing something wrong. The jury could have completely ignored that fact.
Why did it even take the Sanford Police Department so long to charge Zimmerman for that? There was a death and he was involved, a firearm was discharged, all kinds of shit. How come it took 6 weeks to even charge him and arrest him?
He instigated the whole conflict. I don't understand how he's not culpable for
that. Yeah, I mean, and they say, oh, he was a neighborhood watch and he was elected to. That's fine, but when you, as a neighborhood, and I believe in neighborhood watches because I work for a job where those kind of things come in handy. At the very least, people should be at least interested enough in their neighborhood to keep a fucking eye on it. You know,
right.
that's plausible. But this guy was in the neighborhood watch. We can speculate for whatever reason he was in it. The point was is that he followed the procedure. He shouldn't have followed the kid. He should have, as soon as he saw the kid and thought he was suspicious, he should have called the cops. Racial problems that happened after that, whether the cops fucked him up just for being a black kid or whatever, guaranteed the kid probably wouldn't have ended up dead unless he fucked with the cops the same way. The point
is... Do you think he was going to fuck with cops the same way?
My point is, whatever happened after that, we can talk about and speculate however much we want. But he followed the neighborhood watch procedure by eventually calling 911. Whether he should have done it earlier or not is also irrelevant. and they told him, and this is what I can't fucking stress enough, they told him to stay in his goddamn car. At that point, it was
right
out of his fucking hands. He gave it to the authorities that you're supposed to give it to, because a neighborhood watch doesn't have any fucking authority. They're nothing. All they are eyeballs.
Yokels.
And they tell them not to confront the people in Neighborhood Watch. They tell them, just be observers, you report. You observe, you report, and you know what I mean? If you're going to follow the person, keep a safe distance, stay in your vehicle, all that bullshit. You know what I mean?
You're trying to put yourself in the right place at the right time to make a phone call. End of story.
I mean, how hard would it have been if he stayed in the car and asked Trayvon questions? Like, hey, where's he going? You know? What are you doing in this neighborhood kind of shit? You know what I mean? Stayed his ass in the vehicle. And I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you. Maybe not second-degree murder, but it should have been at least manslaughter or criminal negligence or something.
They could have. There's so much. There's so many different. See, now, if I was the prosecution, and this is where I think they dropped the ball, if I was the prosecution, I would have said, okay, here's a guy who's, you know, a cop wannabe. He's Mr. Gung-ho. I mean, we have tons of reports of that stuff coming in. What we need to do is paint the picture of this guy this way and kind of drop the whole bomb that when he submitted this quote-unquote case to the authorities, he didn't follow the protocol. He didn't step back and let them take over. He decided to get out of his car and fucking look around and be a fucking try to be a hero or whatever the hell he thought he was doing. That is, to me, the crux of where this case should have been resting on.
Okay. So now what happens? What do we do now since we're all outraged and stuff? What is the next thing? I mean, I know Al Sharpton's supposed to be here tomorrow, you know, in Orlando.
Well, first off, fuck Al Sharpton. He makes
right.
anything, any cause that Al Sharpton is championing is likely to get fucked up just because Al Sharpton is championing it. He's not a good spokesperson for anything.
So I'm just saying, what do we do now? Do we wait for the civil case?
The NAACP put out a statement saying that there's other things that he can be charged with. He's going to be pursued on a federal level, and he's going to be pursued on a civil level. That's what the NAACP said. It was a statement that they put out. So it's not necessarily over.
He's not ever going to get his dues. So we have to track him down and,
We can't advocate vigilante justice. That's what caused this problem in the first place.
I think you need to file a civil suit and make sure he lives in poverty for the rest of his life so he can't afford a gun.
Yeah, that's true.
What we need to do is divert all this money from the defense, trillions of dollars, and educate people and feed people and build homes and eliminate crimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we could just divert the millions of dollars from the NSA spying program. I mean, if we could just do that and perhaps, I don't know, you know, make this country a decent place to live in and not a place where we're trying to go after all of the brown people stuff that we like so much.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
This is Armand. I was just filling in for Mickey.
Yeah, I know
you
can tell. Yeah.
No,
okay.
We can tell the whole time.
All right, bye, guys.
Armand, I've never met you.
No, he's a good guy. Armand.
You met fucking Armand.
No, I say he's a good guy. We knew the whole time.
I just
missed in the first minute that the Armand was filling in for Mick.
Yeah, no, I could. I. That's why he sounded weird. I figured it was Armand, but that's fine because Armand's more interesting than Mickey anyway.
Was he using Mick's phone?
More coherent.
He's using Mick's phone. He's on Mick's phone.
Okay.
He's less alcoholic sounding.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone though. They had to leave. But that's fine.
So it's not over. I hope justice is finally served. You know, throughout this whole thing, the Martin family was very classy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they answered the questions. I mean, they're under immense stress. I mean, the loss of a child, and then on top of that, national, and I would even go as far as saying world attention on them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I really feel for them.
Well,
and I really hope.
Family, in contrast.
When did it end, though?
The Zimmerman family, in contrast, is on a PR tour. Like, they're everywhere. I just heard an interview on CNN with the brother. The sister just did an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, which is it's a popular medium for, you know, movie stars and politicians and stuff like that to get their message out to the internet community, which is what Obama did, actually, before the last election. And she was on, I think she was like the sister-in-law or something, maybe the brother's wife. And she was coming out and saying that, you know, obviously it was all Trayvon Martin's fault. He attacked George. I mean, it just seems to me like a really calculated risk, a calculated thing for damage assessment, reduction, you know, to try to figure out a way to prevent any vigilante justice being acted out on Zimmerman and to try to make him not look like the piece of shit that most people kind of think that he is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just trying to go on a PR tour saying that the sky's not blue, clouds are not white and fluffy. And my penis is not gigantic. You know what I mean? These are just truisms.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What really upset me about this whole thing, though, is not even just the miscarriage of quote-unquote justice, but that as soon as humanly possible, photos were being put out of Trayvon Martin giving a finger on his phone and, mixing up some purple drink and fucking taping two bums fighting over a bicycle and shit. Like, they were... This is something that really... First off, the media is entirely irresponsible. When they say the media has a liberal bias, I disagree with that, not because the media never has a liberal bias, because they do. The media has a bias, and the only bias that the media has is what's going to get them ratings, whether it's a left-leaning bias, a right-leaning bias, or just a corporate interest bias. The media has a bias. There is absolutely no question.
They want ratings. Eyes on the TV. Eyes on the TV equals dollars. Uh-huh. And the more salacious the story, the better. So
that's why people like Nancy Grace need to be destroyed, because she makes her living sensationalizing horrible, horrible. I mean, the whole Casey Anthony thing. Her entire rating system is based off of that Casey Anthony trial. She made herself a name, Tot Mom, which is what she called her. That whole thing, I mean, and she should be taken, media should be taken to task for the things that they do, like when Nancy Grace demonized those frat boys who were alleged to have raped that stripper, and it turned out that they didn't. That was that was actually complete bullshit.
Really?
She demonized the hell out of these guys. Yeah, the Emmett Till thing?
Wow. No, MSNBC's Cameron Hall. You know, she has an afternoon show that comes on around 3. Well, they accidentally put on, for about, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds, pictures of Trayvon Martin's dead body. You know, you can go on Gawker.com and look at it. But, yeah, she was taking
the
task.
See, that's nothing new in this country at all. Like, America has been very macabre for years. As a matter of fact, Louis and I have talked about this quite a few times. When Che Guevara was killed in Bolivia, when he was finally, because his main enemy was the U.S. Of all the people that Che Guevara was fighting, the U.S. wanted him dead the most. He didn't like the U.S., but like he wasn't trying to invade the United States. Like that wasn't in his agenda. Bolivia actually wasn't even in his agenda. But the U.S. sent, I don't know, CIA agents or something down to kill him. And after they killed him, they paraded his body around the local villages, took pictures with his dead body. It's like they caught an animal. It's like they're having a show fucking animal in these pictures, and they're holding up this giant fish that they caught. It's fucking disgusting.
It's awful.
And then Nancy Grace had a girl named Amy Smart. Amy Smart got abducted when she was 14 for a year. She,
I know. And she was trying to talk about her support of a certain bill, and all Nancy Grace wanted to talk about was her abduction.
It was her abduction. And she was like, I don't want to talk about this. You know, like, it's not the point.
This is not the purpose why I'm
I mean,
here.
Like, how many years after that happened to her and she had to talk about it and deal with it, did she still have to deal with it?
She said it a few times, like, oh, I'm not here to talk about this. I wanted to talk about the bill. Okay, but what about the burqa that they made you wear? Like, listen, I do not want to talk about this.
Okay.
See, I have mixed feelings about that, because on one hand, I do appreciate when a reporter or a journalist or a Howard Stern, for example, asks the questions that we really want to hear, because somebody has to. For example, Chris Brown. I think Chris Brown should be asked about his domestic violence bullshit until he dies, because that's something he did. That's something that he physically did. He doesn't get to pretend like that didn't happen and we should move on from that. Amy Smart, however, went through a traumatic experience that had nothing, it wasn't her choice. It wasn't something that made, that she did, she chose to happen.
I got
that
it.
Happened to her.
Right.
Out of her control.
So, yeah, maybe there is a grace period where she should no longer have to talk about that, even though technically that is what made her a public figure in the first place.
And that's why they have you on the
like
show.
Chris Brown wants to, well, somebody like Chris Brown wants to trash a fucking a morning show studio because, you know, less than 2 years after he beat the shit out of his girlfriend in a very public way, they're asking him about that.
I was watching the meeting, and he said, you know, why is Chris Brown forgiven, R. Kelly forgiven, yet we can't forgive, bear with me, Michael Jackson. He was like, you know, child abuse aside, basically his last two albums, Michael Jackson's albums, sucked. So
yeah,
you know, we have to what it is.
Dude, I forgive Michael Jackson. I mean, I love his music in the '80s so much. He could have touched 1,000 kids, and I'd still listen to his shit.
He could become a Catholic priest. Open about it.
I mean, Michael Jackson was fantastic. Maybe pop music was just different when we were kids, but I still love Michael Jackson's old music.
No, it was good.
It's still rock.
It was well written. It was good stuff. It's classic, you know, well written music. Absolutely.
He was talented.
I think there's a certain thing when it comes to genius that. It's almost like you kind of have to take the dysfunctionality with them. Like Richard Pryor, for example, one of the most brilliant comedians on the planet. But Richard Pryor used to beat the shit out of his wives. Like he used to fuck them up. Like there's no question.
And he
used to beat them. And he was a fucking crackhead and lit his goddamn face on fire, fucking freebasing.
Yeah, you know what? I watched a documentary on him recently, and it was actually pretty much a suicide attempt. He had watched, like, minutes before the Buddhist monks who were protesting whatever, was it Vietnam or whatever, the Rage Against the Machine picture that's on the front.
The Buddhist monks, self-immolating monks.
So he had just watched that, and he was like, damn, that's crazy. And so whatever dude was in the room with him was like, all right, I'm going to go get some stuff from the kitchen. And he comes back to Richard on fire.
classic Richard Pryor.
I will always love Richard Pryor, though. Here's why I will always love Richard Pryor, because after he healed, I think it was his first stand-up special, you know, he did some comedy, and he was like, you know, I hear all the jokes. Like, you know, I'm not going to pretend like this shit didn't happen. Like, you know, I hear all the jokes, you guys. And he takes out a matchbook, and he goes, you know, what is this? And he lights a match, and he, like, makes the match, like, dance as if it's running away. And he was like, that's Richard Pryor running down the street. I mean, he told one of the jokes that's being told about him on stage. Like, that's
right.
Whatever you say about Richard Pryor was a fantastic comedian. one of the best comedians on the planet.
In the documentary, I didn't know that that same joke that you're talking about, that special, he's wearing the red suit, like super classic.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually the second night he did that. Like, the night before, he tried, and there's like outtakes of it, and he was a bit freaked out. He was fucking up. You know, everybody was like liking him, laughing, and he's like, but he was unsure of himself, and he's like, oh, I'm fucking up, guys. And I didn't know that he's like, he cut the show short. He's like, I'm so sorry, guys. Like, come back. Everybody wants everybody to come back tomorrow. I'm gonna be on my game tomorrow, and everyone just come back the next day, and they shot it again. And I think it was at a loss of money too, just because you know he had to, you know. But it was
well, trying to free base cocaine and then setting your fucking base on fire is a traumatic experience. I think that would knock anybody off their game a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It was his first big at bat again.
I've seen some interviews with him too, where he was high as fuck on cocaine, and he was out of his mind.
That was out of his fucking skull.
What were you saying, Christy?
We need to be that way, Christy. You need to be crazy and do drugs with us. You know, you kids are being.
Well,
Christy,
well,
come
I'm
on.
Crazy
come on,
without
Christy.
The drugs.
Christy, here's
I'm
what you need to do. You need to leave your husband and kids. You need to come to New York and do a whole bunch of cocaine with me and Lou. We'll have lots and lots of sex. Mostly me and Lou will have the sex, but you can join in every once in a while.
Well,
and we'll just have this crazy, awesome comedy show.
Yeah.
Fueled by cocaine and small white penises.
Oh, no. It's like a big nightmare. It'd be like a gangster's house.
Hey, come on, Christy, leave your husband and kids for a small white and a small Puerto Rican piece. Come on, let's do it. Comedy show.
I think the only comedy is your small penis and me attempting to do things with it.
The comedy would have to be Lou and I trying to, like, Voltron force our penises together to make one that works with you.
Yeah. Because you two combined don't meet my height requirements, I don't think. I'm not sure. It may meet the width requirements, though.
3 feet, huh? Jesus Christ.
I know she needs a... She needs a penis at least as long as Shaquille O'Neal. And I don't mean as long as his penis. I mean as long as him.
Him, period.
Yes.
1998, Shaquille O'Neal.
Speaking of penises, before we end the show, I think we touched upon it very briefly, but have you guys paid attention to the whole Amanda Bynes debacle? What she's doing to herself and shit?
Funny you mentioned that, bitch. I saw a 15-minute... Literally 15-minute E-Tree Hollywood behind the music on that bitch. And, for real, it was the E-Tree some shit. And, I had a little, you know, I gained a little respect for her because she actually started as a stand-up comedian. Her dad was...
Amanda Bynes?
Yep. She,
little baby?
Her dad wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Enrolled her in the Laugh Factory in California, like classes.
But she was like 12 years old when she started, if not younger.
Yeah, she was like a 10-year-old comic, like at the Laugh Factory.
No shit.
What?
Yeah. And that was her in into you know, the biz, I guess. She was, you know, a little stand up comedian girl. So yeah, I have respect for her. I always thought she could do whatever the fuck she wanted because, you know, being crazy, that's all.
I live for Amanda Bynes.
Well, she became a big Disney star. Who do you live for?
Amanda Bynes. A hot mess. I follow her on Twitter.
Right there. Do you? I'm going to get on Twitter just to follow Amanda Bynes.
She was an kind of an awkward-looking kid, but she grew up. And turn into a good-looking teenager and then, like, a really good-looking... I don't know. For me, she's fucking gorgeous. But then, like, she started on, you know, the Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton crazy bitch train. And, you know, started wearing wigs and dyeing her hair blonde and taking, like, really fucked-up videos of herself where she's obviously high on drugs, and she pierced her cheeks, and she's like posting about how she wants Drake to murder her vagina. And that's really funny to me, that she wants Drake to murder her vagina, because Drake is not only the whitest, Drake is whiter than Eminem. Like, Drake is the whitest rapper on the planet. Like, he has zero street. I call him Wheelchair Jimmy because he was on Degrassi fucking high as a guy who got shot by a white dude and had to be in a wheelchair. And he was, like, crying on the show. He's a bitch. Drake is
and he automatically gets the pussy card because he's Canadian. That automatically makes you a pussy. Automatically.
He gets ass. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's warring with Chris Brown over Rihanna's vagina. Yeah, but I don't. He's hot, really?
I think he's cute. Yeah, I do. I think he's cute.
I mean, I would drop my dick on his face, but I
see
he's hot.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that because I was attracted to him. I'd do that out of disrespect.
Yeah. Well.
And maybe because I might get some of like Rihanna or Nicki Minaj's pussy juice on my dick. If I slap Drake in the face.
You should just bypass Drake and just go straight for Nicki. That's all. Just cut out the middleman, just go straight to the ass. That's all you need to do.
Did he bang Nicki Minaj?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody's bangs Nicki. I hate to say that because I hate like the whole music industry stereotypes, but I mean like there's not really a lot of rumor negation on Nicki's part when people start saying that, like, you know, she got a train run on her and shit. Like, she's not really denying any of that shit.
But, well, like, at the same time, though?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of people linked to her, and she gets it in, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, to ask like that, you would, too.
Hell yes, I would. I would put... You know, I would put other asses that are even bigger than that inside my ass if I had an ass like Nicki Minaj.
Your bumper ass, like your spare ass, like your ass open.
I would be, if I had an ass like that, it would be me in porn that you're seeing like Belladonna shove a baseball bat inside of. Like, that's what I would do with an ass like that. Anyway, the reason I bring up Amanda Bynes is that she's a fucking hot mess right now, and she looks like shit, and she's obviously, she's been arrested for a bunch of DUIs, had her license taken away. I mean, she's literally doing, like, the same shit that Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan did. Like, exactly the same shit. Except you can watch it a lot more because she's doing it live on Twitter. Like, she's showing everybody what a fucking hot mess she is. But watching her do this absolutely activates that idiot gene that I have, that I think guys have, and a lot of girls have, which is that they see a hot mess and they want to take care of it. It's like the mommy gene.
Yeah.
Like, I want to fix her so bad. If there was ever a bitch that I wanted to fix, it would be Amanda Bynes. I want to make her a nice, normal Christian girl that loves it up the ass from other chicks. Like, that's what I want to turn her into.
I want her to go back to what she looked like in Hairspray, because I think that was her at her most cutest and finest, and she looked clean and put together. You know, 20-something, 21-year-old something Amanda Bynes before Hot Mess.
She was a decent comedic actress. I didn't watch a lot of her movies because she was in a lot of stupid shit, but she actually had good comic timing and she was really cute.
Even when she was a kid, like that, all that show, she was funny on that. She was very funny. And then she got her little show, Amanda, 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 which I ignored her after that, but, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I have this theory that my penis can fix women. I do have this theory because, but like, even when I'm just... What'd you say, Lou?
But I have been straightened out with your penis, so it's at least effective with the XY code.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, even when I'm just banging a chick, like, even when it's nothing serious, like, I treat them really well. And, like, chicks love, I mean, even if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, whether they're just tired of my ass or, you know, I just can't commit to them or whatever. Like, I treat my girls well. So when they're with me, even if I'm just putting my penis in them, like, I'm still really nice to them, and they do well in their life when I'm with them. It's as soon as they're out of my hands that they start doing crazy shit. So I have this theory that if I can just get my penis in Amanda Bynes, all of her problems will go away.
She'd clean up and clear up, and all that Twitter nonsense will be put to bed.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be so in love. See, here's what happens is they love my penis. They really do. Girls love my dick. They love my dick. It's everything else that's attached to it, they're not really all that fond of.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's that useless. What can I do? You know, I'm kind of a bastard. Yeah. But you know, that's if I can just hold on to her long enough, I can clean her up a little bit just using my penis. Just my penis is the only thing that's going to change her life. And then after that, she'll be fine.
Sounds like a 10% agency for that, dude.
well, see here, my theory is if I can get into Amanda Bynes, when it doesn't work out inevitably, she's going to bypass Drake altogether and start wanting, like, Lil Wayne to murder her vagina, which... I mean, that's nobody should ever do that. That's just bad.
Lil Wayne would have a seizure from all the syrup he's been drinking before he climaxed. And it would be another headline, Lil Wayne dies in Amanda Bynes' poon. You know?
See, that would be a good way for him to go, though, I think. That would be a good climax to his career, no pun intended.
Little Wheezy Feezies in Amanda Bynes DJ.
I think that would work, though. I think that would work. So if somehow, you know, this is a public radio show, so I'm going to put it out there. Somehow, if this gets back to Amanda Bynes, I'm going
to
try linking her to it.
On Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, there might be.
Somebody that knows somebody.
Maybe the person that maybe one of the NSA guys.
It has to be.
Maybe one of the NSA guys that's monitoring this show will also monitor her Twitter and can send her a message for me, which would be really nice of you, NSA guy. Just let her know that if she's feeling lost, my penis is the light at the end of her tunnel. My penis is the beacon that she's been looking for.
Father.
And Lil Wayne, if you're listening, or anyone who knows Lil Wayne, just hop on that. She's already crazy as it is. She's just like one of your baby mamas. She can have her own
beef. I thought you were going to say, if Lil Wayne is listening, that the same goes for him. Because, you know, why not?
Oh, yes. That goes without saying. The offer stands for
him. Lil Wayne, my penis will fix you too, I promise.
You got to do the gremlin laugh. That affected.
No, I can't do his fucking weird goblin laugh. I can't do that shit. Do that shit.
Lil Wayne.
But there is a song. I should actually upload this song. There's a song. I can't remember what it's called, but it's where they say I'm on that good cushion alcohol. I got some down bitches. Oh, my bitches. I think that's the name of the song. But at one point in the song they go, I got this good cushion alcohol, I got some down bitches I can call. I don't know what I think, and that's the point where Lil Wayne says what's probably the grimiest version of the Joey What's Happening from Friends. Like the grimiest, nastiest. If you guys can, I'm sure Christy's heard that song, but Lou, you gotta listen to that song. It's like it's the most pedophilic, disgusting. What happened? It's like so gross. It gives me the douche chills when I listen to that song.
Oh yeah.
It's like I got some down bitches I can find. He's like, what?
Christy knows about Wayne, and I don't know his.
Because Christy and I have actually already talked about this song before. That's why.
Ah.
Yes, we have. Because you
know,
I actually talked to
Wayne. Black, right?
Like,
yes.
He's very black. He's very black.
Yeah, he's into music and stuff, right? He's got a big hat on all the time. Gold chain?
Who, me?
A white
beard. Lil Wayne, he has a lot of tattoos, and now he's in this skateboarder thing where he's wearing skinny jeans and But like,
oh, I thought you were saying I was black, which was great, because that's
you're blacker than me, Mike.
I am blacker than you, actually, though. I also live in a blacker area than you do, so I think that gives me street cred.
Yeah, street cred.
Yeah.
Dead in the street, but yeah.